Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Keith Nelson, Assistant Secretary of Administration and Chief Human Capital Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Solly Thomas. Keith, I understand that an initiative launched to review how the department is organized revealed that approximately 30% of HUD employees are dedicated to various support functions. Can you elaborate a bit on this finding and tell us how has the service level agreement pilot improved performance in these areas?
Glad to do it, Al. I mean, 30% of support function is high. Most organizations are closer to the 15% level. And so we realized that when we did that analysis that there was really room for improvement and to focus on the mission of HUD is not support organization. It's really mission-focused, public-facing groups like the Federal Housing Authority and Fair Housing Group and all those. So what we did in terms of the support organizations were we looked at us and we said, how exactly are we structured? I mean, the Office of Admin is 100% support, obviously. The CFO is similar, the CIO, all those groups are 100% support. But what we found was in some of those mission-oriented programs was that they had similar support organizations. They had HR individuals. They had IT developers. They had budget analysts. And we found that there was some need for it, but perhaps not the need that that had blossomed up. So what we did was we said, well, let's not do anything without piloting first. And so we set up a pilot. We called it the Service Level Agreement Pilot. So that was we approached a couple of these mission-oriented groups, the Office of Community Planning and Development, which is a kind of a larger organization in HUD, and the Office of Healthy Homes and Lead Hazard Control, probably more of a smaller organization that, and I'll say CPD for Community Planning and Development. They had kind of an administrative office shop that was fairly substantial. There were several dozen people devoted to kind of support organizations there. The Healthy Homes group just had a few, three or four. And so what we did was we developed a service level agreement where I, Office of Admin, promise you, customer, to do these certain items at a certain time and with a certain quality. You will rate me on how well I did that by rating my performance and by giving me feedback with each item I did. And so we set it up that way. And before we did that, we said, oh, and by the way, give us some of your support staff, redeploy other support staff for mission critical things, and then we'll lower the overall support group dedicated to this. And it did a couple of things. It showed that we could deliver results in better fashion, actually, than we could before. Probably because we've eliminated some redundancies, we've eliminated some layers. We've set up a single account manager for each of the customers who are there to really advocate on behalf of the managers and the employees in that customer's unit. And so if they want something like a new conference center built, or if they need to hire 10 people in this city, this account manager is not there to do it, but they're there to track it. And they're there to make sure that nothing goes through the cracks and that the quality is high. It really is the goal for this is to put a line manager into contact with an expert. If a line manager wants a hire, they ought to be talking to the HR specialist who's actually going to do this. They talk HR, they talk manager of what I need. Have that communication and dialogue so that you can get an ad on the street that that is really aimed at what that manager really wants. And before you put an ad on the street, let's have a discussion of here's some timelines, here's some options. Do you want to hire internal? Do you want to go external? All those types of discussions are very healthy so the manager understands what their choices are and they can make smarter decisions.
So as you, if I net all this out, what it really comes down to is customer service. And so, you know, with that, can you give us some specifics of how you're providing support to some of the HUD mission areas? And are there any specific initiatives that you're pursuing to be successful in this area of customer service?
We do hold weekly staff meetings with our customers in terms of HR to make sure that all their personnel actions are being done timely and quality. And I would say the key to customer service is communication. And that comes really from the top. And we're very pleased that we have a new secretary at HUD, Secretary Preston. He's launched a new initiative called HUD Heroes, which asks employees to nominate themselves or other employees they know for doing great job, either on the job or off the job. We're just we're recognizing ourselves for good works we do. He's gone down to the cafeteria, had lunch with groups of employees, and heard what they had to say. And this was probably his boldest move, in my opinion. He had an all-employee video broadcast. At the end, he gave his employees his email address and encouraged them to write in their thoughts. And I know he reads them because he's forwarded on a few to me already.
Keith, I would imagine that one of the department's major challenges has been to effectively manage its limited number of staff resources to accomplish its primary mission. You had mentioned before you have fewer than 10,000 employees, which is relatively small for a cabinet agency. In addition to having a small staff, I understand that approximately 60% of the HUD workforce will be eligible to retire next year. How are you handling the pending retirement wave, and what plans are in place to mitigate its effect?
Thanks, Sally. We've set up a succession plan because, as I mentioned before, a lot of these eligible to retirees don't actually retire, but we do have some analysis that says which directions we should be focused on. And our succession plan covers that. And there's a 7-step to our succession planning strategy. Number one, we have to identify the mission-critical positions. Some of those who retire, we can probably get by without or replacing later. Others, we can't. Number two, we identify the staff who are eligible, qualified, or interested in leadership positions in the agency within the next 3 years. So then we develop a nice little pool of those who we should focus on in terms of grooming. And number three, we establish a talent leadership pool list of eligible staff by offices. So then we start organizing this pool. Number four, we ask for a self-assessment by the leadership pool members using the management competencies assessment tool. Number five, we have a supervisory assessment of leadership pool members using the management competencies assessment tool. And then number six, we create an individual development plan for each leadership pool member created by their supervisor. And number seven, you do some succession planning based on the information compiled through steps 1 through 6.
And Keith, as you know, agencies really need to have effective strategies for organizing and retaining their intellectual resources and institutional memory. To that end, would you elaborate on your efforts to implement an effective knowledge management system, which includes strategies such as Operation Brain Trust?
Sure, Sally. We have several programs focused on knowledge transfer. One that I mentioned a little earlier, we have an Emerging Leaders Program. Currently, there's 33 participants. This is kind of the GS-12, GS-13 level, grooming some of these folks through exploring leadership issues, practices. There's classroom training, there's executive interviews, developmental shadowing assignments, and team projects. They're the ones who developed that high-risk retirement group. We also have a new supervisory training. This is, since 2007, we have required all new supervisors to take kind of a boot camp. It's a week-long training program. And we've had 200 go through this program, and it's been very, very helpful. It's gotten good reviews because it was just in real need to have our new supervisors be armed with kind of the basics of how do you deal with staff issues and time and attendance, leave, position management, classification, hiring, all that stuff. We have HUD subject matter experts who talk about each of these areas, and we do bring outside speakers in as well. We have a HUD SES candidate development program. This is a key area for knowledge transfer as well. It's similar to a lot of other SES training programs, and it's been very useful, and we do have a high percentage of those who do join the SES after graduating from that. We have a strong mentor program through which any employee can request a mentor. In some cases, we assign mentors without a request. All of our HUD fellows are assigned mentors, for example. These relationships provide opportunities for mentors to share experiences, insights, wisdom, guidance, and knowledge transfer as part of that. We're also kicking off a coaching program this year. This focuses on matching employees with specific technical needs with seasoned employees with proven knowledge and skills in that area. So it's more focused on really nothing but knowledge transfer and technical knowledge. We have several other areas. We use the Microsoft tool SharePoint to put knowledge sharing in a in a digital standpoint. Some offices have put an office librarian to catalog knowledge and put the information through clearinghouses. And we archive all of our webcasts. And we've also set up some lunch and learn groups hosted by subject matter experts and many others.
Now, Keith, in the wake of the subprime mortgage crisis, HUD continues to seek modernization of the Federal Housing Administration. Could you give our listeners an overview of this modernization? And more importantly, how will the proposed changes impact your workforce and operations?
Thanks, Solly. I mean, we've already seen a dramatic rise in the increase of number of lenders that are seeking to become FHA-approved lenders. It's natural that with the subprime lenders either going out of business or kind of turning in a new direction, a lot of mortgage holders are seeking relief, and we can do a lot with those who haven't yet started to fall behind in their mortgage payments, and we can do more with FHA reform should that be passed shortly. But the Secretary has already kind of indicated to me that his top priority in terms of hiring is to gear up the right workforce to handle the increased in volume. And we are gearing up to hire about 300 new employees in the Office of Housing that are dedicated to a single-family FHA modernization group. So as an ad for those listening who have experience in mortgages, lending, or housing, please look at USA Jobs in the coming weeks. There might be an opportunity for you.
That's great. Now, Keith, to switch gears a little bit, can you tell us a bit about the grant management program over at HUD, and how has the office, your office, enhanced the management and the monitoring of the grants that are made by HUD?
Absolutely, Al. I would say the theme is e-gov. HUD is a big, significant player in the federal government grants community. We are one of the four largest grant-making agencies. We do approximately $30 billion in annual grants. We have set up a kind of, I think it's unique in government. We have put all of our notice of funding availabilities in one kind of all-inclusive document that's published annually. We call it it's notice of funding availability is NOFA. We call it the Super NOFA, and publish that. It helps all the grantee communities to see in one place what opportunities are out there. And all of those are published on grants.gov as well as at HUD.gov. And it allows just about every applicant to apply for a HUD grant using the e-grant system. And I'll tell you, we do have quite a change over the years in terms of paper applications. In 2004, prior to the grants.gov website, we received 10,000 paper grant applications. You can imagine our file cabinets that year. 2005, grants.gov launched. We received only 597 paper applications. 2006, it dropped to 11. So we are paperless, and our grant community thanks us for that. I think they were ahead of us in that case, and we're moving forward into the digital age.
Now, obviously, in an organization such as HUD and any large organization, coordination and collaboration among the various chiefs, the CFO, the CIO, CHICO, so forth and so on, is critical. Can you tell us a bit about how this works within HUD?
We meet every week, those chiefs, to discuss coordination among ourselves and coordination with our mission-oriented customers, and just try to understand what each of us are rolling out and make sure that we don't hit them all at once, if you will. We talk about strategic efforts. We also talk about transactional things. And I would just highlight one concept that came out of those meetings, which are every Monday morning, was that we kind of realized that our organizations were always one step removed from the real mission of HUD and the actual homeowner who receives a HUD loan or grant, et cetera. So we said, well, how do we get our staff kind of in tune with the actual mission and the good works that HUD does? Well, there's a lot of these things going around in Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland. So let's put them on a bus. Let's introduce them to actual HUD realities of what HUD is doing on the ground, and have a tour guide that show this is a HUD home, if you would, and all these types of things. This is public housing. These are kind of some neat, different places that all translate back to various HUD missions. And you, as a CFO employee or an admin employee, are an important part of this process.
That's great. That must give employees just a wonderful perspective on you know what they do and how it directly affects the people that they serve. That's fantastic. What does the future hold for HUD? We will ask Keith Nelson, Assistant Secretary of Administration and Chief Human Capital Officer, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.